Strategic Christian Services, in association with Dominion Enterprises, is pleased to present Let's Talk, Communication Skills for People Who Want Healthy Relationships, with Dennis Peacock. This is Lesson 7, entitled Defending What We've Built.
Hi, I'm Dennis Peacock, and we're coming down the home stretch here in our introductory series of Let's Talk. We really hope all of us have been a part of this, that our sharing together has proven to be a benefit to you. We know the principles work. We know that our lives and our relationships can be substantially changed by simply giving ourselves a chance by practicing things that we know work to build deeper relationships. I want to encourage you to go to the website. I want to encourage you to use the materials, share them with your friends, go over them again. Most of all, I want to encourage you to sit down and watch this stuff or listen to these tapes with people that you really do want to build strong relationships with. And they're also available for those of you that become skilled to actually become a group facilitator or a trainer so that you can have a discussion group like the one we've shared with here in the last several days and begin to change the relationships of people you care about by multiplying the truth. Go to the website right now. Bless you. Well, here we are, the seventh session, at least in the way we've done it. I don't know what it's going to look like when it's all produced. And we're dealing with what I've put up here on the easel board, the whole notion of defending the relationships that we've built. If you invest in something and something really matters, you can be sure that, you know, in a fallen world, it's going to be attacked, and we need to learn how to defend our relationships. And in my crude little drawing up there, on the top, I have two people attacking one another, which is the way it happens until we come out of that stupid game, and go down to the diagram on the bottom, which is two people standing together attacking what is attacking us. In other words, standing back to back rather than facing each other and attacking each other, we stand back to back and we attack what is attacking us as a relationship. Or an organization, or a family, or a marriage, or a company, or whatever. All right, let's talk about some other tools that will help us. One of those tools is recognizing that we constantly need to work on our listening skills. Jesus said repeatedly, having ears to hear, you don't hear. Having eyes to see, you can't see. Seeing and hearing are acquired skills. Again, we've got a lot of mythology in the human experience. We think that we naturally know how to swim. Okay, as human beings, how many of you know human beings do not naturally know how to swim? Okay, you throw 1,000 babies into the water, I think probably 999 are going to drown. It's not something you naturally know how to do. We think we naturally know how to communicate. We do not naturally know how to communicate. How do I know that? Our languages are the living proof that we do not know how to be in one mind. The reason we don't know how to be in one mind is it was God's penalty on us uniting in one mind in rebellion against God. Now, that's the real condition of life. We need to be trained to know how to love. We need to be trained, or I should say trained to know how to love effectively. We need to be trained to know how to communicate effectively. We need to be trained to know how to defend our relationships so that we don't attack each other, but we attack whatever is coming against. And part of that defense is constantly working on our listening skills. Now, one of the tools that I have found in my life that really makes a difference in terms of listening skills is helping people quantify how intensely do you feel about what you just said? And I have a very simple little device that a couple that Jen and I worked with pastorally about 20 years ago actually gave us this device, and it's really worked. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strongly do you feel this? If 10 is maximum strength and 1 is, it's just an issue, but it's not that strong, it helps each other quantify the level of intensity. Now, I'm being funny here. To an Italian, everything is a 10. But that isn't really true. What my friend Vinny and I were talking here during the break earlier, that as Italians, you go to Italy, And, you know, they look like they're on the verge of a total riot, and all they're doing is having a friendly conversation, because the nature of that ethnic group is very, very intense communication. Everything in reality can't be a 10. There's got to be some things that are 10s and some things are 1s. Now, depending upon the nature of the personality and how outward they are, it's easy to come off at a 10. I'll use Jan and I for example. It's important when Jan makes a comment about, you know, I really didn't like it when that happened, or, you know, what you did here bothered me. I'm going to ask, well, how intense is that? Is that, are we at a 3 here? Are we at a 5 or a 10? See, 10s mean we got a serious conversation. It means that we're not going to solve this in 2 minutes. 10s might take an hour. 10s might take 2 hours. 1s can take 5 minutes. But the level of intensity gives you some kind of a gauge as to how important is this issue. And I have found it in meetings. I run a lot of meetings. I chair a lot of meetings. If you were to sit into my meetings, you would hear me say when we get into the discussion, help me understand how important an issue is this. Do you believe this is a critical issue, super critical at a 10, or is this a 5? And again, I know that that's somewhat arbitrary, but it helps us understand how intense something is perceived to be by the person that's bringing up the point. I urge you to use it. A lot of miscommunication takes place simply because we misread by thinking something is more important to somebody than it really is, or thinking it's less important than it really is. And Jan and I could tell you stories in our relationships over the years of where that has really helped, okay? Because I don't have any way of knowing how important it is unless you communicate that with me. The second major point here, again, is very, very obvious. You know, we could have done this at the beginning of this teaching, but for strategic reasons, I chose to do it now. And that is the whole question of giving each other feedback. Feedback allows me to defend what you've shared against misinterpretation. If we're in a discussion and you're sharing something with me, the clearest way I can tell you that I've listened, and the clearest way you can correct me where I've drawn an erroneous conclusion, is when I say, you know, back to you, Jeff or William or whoever, let me tell you, this is what I'm hearing you say. Is this what you said? Now, I don't have to use your exact words. As a matter of fact, the more skillful I get, I probably will not use your exact words. What I'm going to try and play back for you is what I think your heart is saying. What is the intent of your communication? Otherwise, we end up playing lawyer with each other, and playing lawyer is a drag. Okay, we don't want to do that. But if I play back to you what it is that I think you're trying to say, it not only demonstrates that I'm listening carefully to you, but it demonstrates where I didn't hear you, and it gives you an opportunity to correct me or correct what you said so that I really am getting your heart in the situation. Now, obviously, you know, we could get into the jokes that go on between males and females in our communication. But I think one of the most important tools that we have to defend ourselves against misunderstanding is play it back. What did you say? What did you mean? And have I really heard you? And in an important discussion, especially if we're dealing with conflict or important decisions or strategic decisions, things that really have weight on them, we need to be able to make sure that we go step by step by step by step so that we're building agreement and not going on to the next point until we have played back and we're clear. We really are clear. We agree here. Okay, now let's move to the next step. Let's play it back and make sure that we're really clear on what we're saying here. That will avoid a lot of unnecessary warfare down the road. Third point that I want to make is very similar to it, is to ask the question when we get into either disagreement or the conversation turns to mud, it gets murky, the fog machine turns on, then the right question is, help me see what I'm not seeing. I'm obviously not hearing you. I'm not seeing what you see. Can you try another picture? Give me another word picture. Give me another set of analogies. Let's stop and pray. Do whatever it is that we're going to do. I know I'm not hearing you. I can tell that I'm not hearing you. And I want your heart. I don't want to go on until we're in agreement. Help me see what I don't see. Okay? Now, one of the things that is going to come against us in all our relationships, I've seen, I could count on one hand of all the marriages that I've ever touched, I could count on one hand the number of people who say that when they went through hassles, they never asked themselves the question, did I make a mistake in marrying you? Okay? If we were going to poll everybody that's married on this planet, I guarantee you 98.9% of the people would say when they've been in their really intense hassles and if they've been in them over and over again and are stymied or blocked, the question comes up on the inside, the internal conversation, did I make a mistake in marrying you? The same thing is true in companies that have merged or people who are working for companies and the hassle is there and the question comes up, did I make the wrong commitment? Am I in the wrong place, et cetera, et cetera. Is everybody breathing? Everybody knows that that's reality. Very, very, very few situations have I ever encountered when people are really honest will tell you that they have not had that internal question. Now, it scares you if you're not aware that that's a common attack. It's a common attack for people to go through that. It doesn't mean anything is falling apart. It means you're living in reality, okay? Because, again, there are going to be attacks to attempt to undermine the revelation of the nature of the relationship. And this goes back, and the reason I raise this point, is if you have entered into the relationship carefully, and if you believe in the sovereignty of God, and if you've prayed, and if you have counsel that you trust that has affirmed the nature of the relationship that you're in, you need to be very secure that simply asking the question is not destructive to the relationship unless you choose to live in the question. And I raise this, and this, you know, I didn't learn this until the last 5 years or so, that a powerful question is more powerful than a powerful answer. Because a question forces us to engage on internal levels that an answer doesn't. An answer basically is a yes, no, but a question forces me to go through a lot of different issues internally. And that is why Satan said to Eve, "Hath God said?" I bring this up. If you had been in the presence of God in the way that Satan had, it wasn't a question of do you believe in God. He didn't just believe in God. He'd had a lot of interaction with him. And you knew that you were going to attack him. You knew that you were going to attack the being that created you. Don't you think you're going to use the most powerful weapon at your disposal? And what is the most powerful weapon that Satan had? It was the power of a penetrating question. Questions will come against our relationships as the ultimate attack of the relationship. And that is where we often need to bring those questions to the light and say, you know, the enemy is attacking me right now with the ultimate question of, is this relationship a mistake? I need you to pray with me, stand with me right now as we deal with that question. Now, how do we deal with that question? We deal with that question going back and standing in the reality that if we are in fact trying to serve God, if we have done all the due diligence, if we are standing in the counsel of people that we trust, we made that decision in good conscience. If you pull that stake up out of the ground, how will you ever make another decision that you believe is going to stand the test of real pressure? You know, we talk about character. We talk about building a life on the foundation of character. I'm talking about one of the most critical issues that any human being is ever going to stand in, and that is the attack against the most basic relationships in your life. You are going to be attacked in those relationships at different times. Now, the attacks change. But certainly in the beginning, you are going to get those kinds of attacks. And now we get back to the whole issue of the bridge of trust. The bridge of trust protects us from those attacks because our answer is, I trust this person and I trust God because this is what their history has been in my life. And if their history has not been what I want it to be, I still trust God to be able to make up the difference and bring the change that I need. And I want to just drop out of our conversation here for a moment and address the people that may be having shared this. Let's talk with us on the video. I know by the law of averages, there are numbers of you that have been through this series, that your relationships are so painful to you, and you've asked yourself over and over again, should I get a divorce? What do I do about this family? You know, what do I do about this company or whatever that looks like for you? I want to assure you that you need to give these principles a good shot. You need to apply these principles before you even consider another thought about pulling up the stake of breaking that relationship. Because relationships are built on the principles of God being properly executed. And numbers of you, your relationships are a disaster, with all due respect, not because you're in the wrong relationship necessarily, but because you've lived in a destruction derby because you have never been trained how to build a really successful marriage, family, church, business, or whatever. And again, I don't know how to say forcefully enough without scaring you. You didn't naturally learn how to swim. You learned how to swim because somebody taught you. You didn't naturally learn how to talk. You learned how to talk because somebody trained you. You didn't naturally learn whatever wisdom you have. You learned because somebody trained you. And relationships are built on exactly the same principles. Natural relationships must be trained if they're going to move into levels of real maturity. So let's bring this around the corner. We've talked about help me see what I don't see. You may be applying the truth in the wrong way. Okay, you may have enough of the principle that you know you're trying to execute it, but you haven't been trained how to set it up. I teach self-defense and rape prevention. It's something I got into many, many years ago. And, you know, it's one thing in a gymnasium to set up a hold when both people are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. It's another thing to set that hold up in what we call real time. And in order to set up holds in real time, you really have to be trained by somebody that knows what they're doing, and you have to be corrected by them as they watch you and evaluate what you're trying to do. And again, I don't want to drop out of this too much, but talking to the viewers or those that are listening or watching us, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And if you're practicing the wrong thing, it's not going to work. We've got to be practicing the right application of the principle, which is why I'm saying you got to listen to this stuff, you got to try it, you got to work it, you got to work with somebody who may know how to do some of these principles better than you do. Don't give up on something just because you put the key in the door and it's not opening the first time. You may have to take it out, turn it right side up, you may have to, you know, file it a little bit, but you have to work with these things in order to make them fit the way that they work. Don't expect magic. These principles are absolutely true. If you apply the pressure here and the force here, the person really will go down, I absolutely guarantee. But it's going to take you some time to learn how to do that. Don't expect magic. Especially we Christians, we tend to expect God to work through magic when, you know, I do believe in miracles and they do happen, but most of our life in Christ is a series of applying the truth over and over and over until we get it right, okay? The last thing I want to talk about again is the power of our conversation is built on the trust that we have of one another to share the things that are uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about the uncomfortable things, the strongholds that we may know that are there that we don't want to admit because we're embarrassed about them. We feel bad about them for whatever reason. We may have been ridiculed. We may be living in condemnation. Relationships are built on mutual trust, where we show each other our dirty laundry, so to speak, and we know that if we put it in the light and we handle it in the light, the biggest cure of darkness, the biggest cure of sin, is to apply light to it. And light is exposure. And again, I'm not talking about exposure to the wrong people. I'm talking about exposing your sin to the people that God has ordained to genuinely help you, the people that God has joined you with. We're not talking about, you know, speaking like a fool to strangers. We're talking about sharing your heart with people that you know you can trust because they have the competency to help you. We need to understand, again, that we are going to have to not only stand against accusation, we're going to have to stand against accusation together. We're going to have to agree to be transparent. We're going to have to understand that when we've hurt each other, one of the single most important questions we have to ask is, okay, I've hurt you. Now, what must I promise you that the enemy is going to accuse me of? In other words, Jan and I, pick on Jan and I, we've just had a hassle. Let's say we've just had a hassle, and I've hurt her feelings. The best question I can ask her to help her defend herself against the enemy is, what do you believe the accusation against me is that the enemy is going to run through your brain? I wish I had time, but I don't. I wish I had time to tell you the miraculous relational healings I have seen when people applied this principle, because when we walk away from a hassle, the enemy, he isn't done. He is going to be accusing you to me or me to you over some issue. What we need to do is get the accusation in the light, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. If Jan knows what the enemy is going to say is, Dennis really didn't care about you or he wouldn't have done that, what I need to say to Jan is, Jan, in order to help you defend yourself against the enemy, I want you to know that I really do care, and if I'd known how much that was going to hurt you, I never would have done that, I never would have said that. And the reason that I'm giving that information is so when the enemy brings that accusation, you're right there with me telling you right away, that's not true. That's not true. How do we defend one another? I can't defend myself, but I can defend you in some ways that you can't defend yourself. We must make a commitment in our relationships to defend one another against the accusations of either our own flesh, other people, or the enemy. That is, in the diagram, standing back to back. And lastly, there's a lot of times when you and I get stuck where we need a mediator. We need to bring in a third party who is going to stand in a degree of objectivity and stand in a place of love and mutual commitment to us and to the relationship to bring the missing ingredients from an objective point of view that we can't see. We need to have mediators in our life, trusted people who we see have already worked through a lot of the stuff that we're still in to help us. I close with this, and I share this with you, and I share this with those of you joining us who have been with us in this introductory journey on video or on audio tape. Don't give up on your relationships. Understand that practicing truth does bring liberation. It does bring freedom. I have seen countless relationships revolutionized by applying even two or three of these principles, let alone the 20 or 30 that we've talked about in summary form. Again, I want to urge you for your sake, for God's sake, and for the sake of the destiny maybe of your children and your family or your livelihood or your church or whatever organization you're a part of and you make a contribution to through your communication. Please go through this material again. You will see it change your life as much as any other single experience that I believe you could possibly have, because life is about communication. Life is about communion. It's about going with, not coercing. It's about learning to reveal what is in us and discovering what's in other people, so that together, if one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight, it's because the two are communicating with such a power that they magnify their life force in an incredible way. Go to the website, look up the materials, become a trainer. Get good enough at this that you can take this life and share it with other people. God bless you and your relationships, and God give you the wisdom and the understanding to not only build them, but defend them and impart those relationships to those that you love, your kids, your spouse, your coworkers, whoever it is that you are in communion with. It's been a real privilege to be with you, and I know we're going to do some questions here before we finish, but this has been great. I trusting that we've shared and I've shared and communicated in a way that not only serves you, but the people that have joined us in this journey. All right, I know we've got some questions before we conclude. Adam, you had one.
I had a probably simple question, maybe not. I'm just wondering if you could talk to us, you mentioned feedback earlier and the importance of it, about a couple practical things we should be looking for when we solicit feedback from people. What are the things that we're looking for when we ask for feedback, and are there any particular ways that we can ask it that's going to draw relevant things for our relationship versus just people's impressions or whatever?
You know, that's important. Well, I can only share out of my opinion here, obviously. What is most important to me when I'm asking for feedback is, do you understand why I've said what I've said? Not just what I've said. I want to know if you understand the motivation or the intent that I have in saying what I'm saying. How do I say that more clearly? Especially like in a project. You know, you and I interface in a lot of projects. I don't want you to hear what my opinion is about where we need to go as much as I'm interested in you knowing why I believe we need to go here. Because the next stage of our conversation is going to be, if we're going to have a real conversation, and you do this to me in real life, you'll say, well, Dad, I understand where you want to go. Have you considered trying to get there another way or adjusting this? If the issue has got to begin with why more than what, otherwise we're just parroting, you know, I'm playing back for you what I heard you say, but I really didn't hear your heart. I didn't hear your intent. And I think the most important thing in feedback with one another is the whole issue of hearing your heart. What is your desire? What's your intent? You know, why are you saying this? Where do you want this to go? What action do you want me to take as a result of hearing what it is that you've said? I hope that helps. And I think the last question may be, you know, one of the most important is, what do you want me to do? Here's what I hear you saying. How do you want me to respond to that? What do you want me to do? What is your intent? Anybody else have a question? William, you have a question.
Yes, what happens if you're not really on one accord? You do have trust. You do love the person, especially with regards to a working relationship. Mm-hmm. How do you proceed forward from there?
And again, we would drop back and say, we have to get into now a whole series of questions. We have to, number one, go into the discovery process. Let's say you and I are in disagreement here. What is it that we disagree about? Are we clear in our words? Is it a disagreement that we're using the same words, but we don't have the same meaning for those words? Are we disagreeing because there's an unresolved conflict between us where I did something to hurt you and therefore you can't hear me? A lot of times we can't hear people because we're hung up in something that happened in the past. We can't get in the present because we're living in the past. We need to get in the now in order to be in agreement. And if I've got unresolved conflict with you or you with me, we're not in the now, we're in the past. So we need to get into the now together. We need to get fixed, whatever needs to get fixed. We may have very different views about where we want to go, or we may have very different views about how we want to get there. You know, a lot of times our disagreements are not that we don't want to go the same place. It's that we do want to go the same place, but what we're differing about is how we're going to get there. Okay? So we need to, number one, discover why the disagreement. And secondly, after we've discovered that and come to an answer, then we need to agree as to what we're going to do about it. How are we going to drive the spike? What are we going to do to change where we're going? And then thirdly, as I said a little while ago, we need to talk about how we're going to reinforce the agreement. How are we going to make sure that this agreement is going to stand against the opposition that is going to come against it? Because in a fallen world, the last thing the enemy wants to happen is to see you and I be in unity. Because if you and I are in unity, we pose a threat to Him. And strong relationships in God, relationships in truth, pose a threat to the enemy. So we got to talk about how are we going to reinforce this, how are we going to defend it. But those are some quick, simple answers. Well, I know you've got more questions. I think a lot of the reason that we're not sharing more is because we're a little dumbfounded and weary, and we're thinking about the relationships we have and the changes we need to make. I trust that's true. It has been, as I said a few moments ago, a real gift to have you with us. We're trusting those of you that have shared in this living room in our session of Let's Talk are capable or desirous of not only wanting to do that with your close relations, but consider the possibility of getting skilled enough in these principles working in your life that you can help lead other people to freedom by starting a Let's Talk discussion group or something similar that you'll find when you go to our webpage. It has been a real gift for us to share this time with you. We want to thank you for your attention. And again, I want to encourage you, take the tools that are supplied here. They're basic tools. Apply them. Don't just hear them. You know, the test of listening is doing. The book of James says you haven't really listened unless you're doing. Doing is the test of listening. And it's our prayer, conviction, and hope for you that you've listened enough to begin to apply the principles that will change your life because they'll change your relationships. Bless you, and be in touch with us. Go to the website. Let's communicate. There's folks there that are going to help communicate with you over the application of these materials. Thanks.
This is a copyrighted program of Rebuild and Dominion Enterprises. Unauthorized duplication is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California 95405.